Knows Death, starring Nicole and Jemmy and Maria QK.
Hey guys, welcome to Mother Knows Death. I'm here with Maria, and we are going to get started with a very interesting story of the week.
Our story of the week is about a 70-year-old woman that gave birth to twins. Can you believe this?
No, that's why I chose this as story of the week, because it is completely outrageous. Apparently, this lady did IVF with her partner's sperm, and she used a donor egg. And for those of you that don't know what IVF is, it stands for in vitro fertilization. And what happens is that doctors take an egg and a sperm, and they fertilize them or put them together, and they make what's called an embryo. And then they put the embryo inside of a uterus that then grows the baby in a pregnancy. And in this case, she used a donor egg, so it wasn't her egg, but it was one that she got from someone. And doctors put it in her, and she ended up getting pregnant with twins. So sometimes they put a couple of them in with the hopes that one of them sticks. But in a lot of cases of IVF, you'll have multiple births because sometimes more than one of them stick. Sometimes a lot of them stick. So she was pregnant with twins, and she gave birth early at 31 weeks of gestation. But they were fine. They're healthy. They're alive. They were put in incubators and a little premature. But she gave birth at 70 years old. I will repeat, 70 to twins.
Well, I don't know if you saw this too, but she actually had given birth also in 2020. So this is kind of a wild story because her husband had died in 1992, and she was considered what I found really sad to be a cursed woman because she had not had a child. And then she met her current partner in 1996. So their first child was born in 2020, and now she has the twins this year. And another really sad tidbit I found from this was she said that her partner had not visited her in the hospital since she had given birth. And she had stated that maybe he was not happy with the twins because sometimes men in her culture don't want to know how many babies because they get really freaked out by the responsibility of having multiples. So I thought that was the worst part of the whole story, honestly. It's having this miraculous birth and then your partner is just like, I'm not comfortable with this, so see you later.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of against this whole thing. I just think it's completely ridiculous that, so you're bringing children into the world that you're 70 years old, you're bringing these children into the world, and now the dad might not want anything to do with them, isn't showing up, doesn't seem to be very supportive. I mean, the whole thing just screams bad idea to me. I don't want to say that because then they can't just put an age limit and say, okay, this person's too old to have a baby. But come on, 70 years old just seems, it seems not cool because, like, what if something happens with her? Now these babies are premature. They might have lifelong issues because they were born premature. And the dad is like, doesn't seem to be really into it right now. It's just, it's not cool to do that, in my opinion.
No, definitely. And I think there's some part of it where it's really cool scientifically that this happened, but it's one of those just because you can doesn't mean you should. I don't think it's necessarily really fair to the kids that unless they have a support system set up for if these people are elderly and get sick and need care themselves, I don't think it's fair to put children in a position like this where their caregivers are not going to be at 100% for them.
All right, so this week we had some interesting celebrity news. Do you want to get started with the first story?
Yeah, so first we have 90210 actress Shannen Doherty. A couple years ago in 2015, she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. She had later said she was in remission. And then in 2 years after that, so in 2017, she went in remission. And then 2019, she had announced that it had come back. And now it is at stage 4 cancer. So can you explain for everybody what the stages of the cancer are and how it is now spread further into her body?
All right. So originally she was diagnosed. Now she's 52 years old. So she was diagnosed in 2015 with breast cancer. And she said, I don't know if she actually said what stage she was diagnosed with, but she had a mastectomy, which means a surgical removal of the breast. And she also had chemo and radiation. So to me, that indicates there's 4 stages of cancer. The first being the least invasive, and then the fourth being spread all over the body. just on the fact that she had chemo and radiation, I would say that she had a more advanced stage at the time of diagnosis, because sometimes if your stage was stage one breast cancer, they would do surgery and that's it. You might not need chemo and radiation. So the fact that they're adding those extra things on means to me that it was probably at least spread to a lymph node or something, or just like a little bit of a bigger tumor. So that was back in 2015. She had her treatments, and then 2 years later, she said she was in remission. And we like to say that there's no evidence of cancer on the staging, but to say that a person doesn't have cancer anymore after treatment is just kind of not something that people say anymore. And in 2019, she said it had come back. And this time it was metastatic breast cancer and it was in her brain. So what happens is she shows up to the doctor and she has this history of breast cancer, and she goes and she was probably having some neurological symptoms. They did a scan on her head and saw that she had a brain tumor. Now they have to do surgery to take a piece of the tumor out to determine if it's a new tumor that grew or if it is metastatic breast cancer, meaning that the tumor that originally started in her breast spread to her brain. So when they did that and she had this brain surgery, did you read about what happened with the husband and all that stuff?
Oh, no, I didn't even see
Oh, yeah.
That.
So apparently she was married to this guy, and like right before they were wheeling her in for surgery, she found out that they were getting divorced and he had been having an affair for 2 years prior to that, which is it is really terrible. It's just so terrible. So she had this brain tumor removed. Now, I have to say that when they remove a metastatic brain lesion, that's not really getting rid of it. They basically just took it out to just see what it was. Saw it was breast cancer. So then she started getting additional treatment for stage four cancer, which means it has left the breast and it's now elsewhere in the body. And breast cancer typically likes to spread to the lymph nodes first, and then it goes to the brain and the bones commonly. So she has all that. And it's important to say that there's no cure for stage four breast cancer, but they can treat it and they could kind of like get it under control so she could live a couple more years. Obviously, she's already lived since the diagnosis originally in 2019, but now she's saying in 2023 that it's in her bones. So just to give you some statistics, when you have stage four breast cancer, the survival rate is about 20 to 30%. Of people live 5 years or more. And then on average, a person that has metastatic breast cancer only lives about 1.5 to 2 years after they're diagnosed with it in their bones. But that's an average. So we could just keep our fingers crossed that maybe that won't happen with her and she'll be able to stay alive longer.
Yeah, I think considering she has a really good outlook on life, I didn't even know that stuff about her husband. So I'm like, wow, you're extra positive considering your husband sucks. And
what a douche, right? Who would do that to somebody that's like going through cancer?
Total jerk. So I think it's really awesome. She's going to be talking about her journey on a new podcast she has coming out today, actually. So I would really be interested in listening to that, because I think she has a really good perspective on life. And I think it's really nice to listen to somebody going through a trauma like this, and if you have things going on in your personal life, to kind of be like, wow, that person can still have a really good perspective on the rest of their life. So what can I do to kind of have that for myself as well?
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, she's 52 and she's not stupid. She knows that this is not good news. And to just not be in the corner crying is pretty admirable, I would say. And I love her.
Absolutely.
You weren't a 90210 kid, but I was. I was. That show came out in like 6th or 7th grade, and it was just I was obsessed with it. And I keep meaning to talk to someone that watched 90210 as much as I did as a kid, but I could have sworn when she played Brenda in that show that she had some scare, that she had a lump in her breast, and then she went to the doctor and it turned out to be a benign thing. But I just think that's like a little weird given that she ended up really having breast cancer as an adult.
That's a horrible example of life imitating art, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And maybe I'm totally wrong. I really feel like I remember that episode, but I was in 6th grade, so I don't really know like what was happening. But
well, maybe we should go back and watch it together now that I'm old enough to appreciate the show.
And then I'll be like, I can't believe I was watching that when I was 12, because it's probably definitely very sexual. Let's talk about this Squid Game actor.
Did you ever watch that show?
No, I don't, I have no idea what it is.
So it was this huge show that came out during COVID, and I never watched it, but I understand the premise to be it's that people that are in severe financial debt kind of play this really violent game against each other and kill people, and sometimes they're killed, and whoever wins the game has all their debt erased.
Oh, okay.
So during COVID, it was, you know, not... It was a super stressful thing to be watching. So.
I was more of a like Tiger King during COVID type of person.
Yeah. So yeah, I never really watched this because I was already anxious enough during that time. But anyway, this 7-year-old actor who was on the show, his name's Jeffrey Giuliano. He was having renovations done at his home in Thailand when this total freak accident happened. And one of the construction workers dropped a chainsaw. It bounced across the floor and hit Jeffrey in the foot. And cut two of his toes off, his big toe and the one next to it. Does that have a scientific name? I'm not sure.
Second toe.
The second toe. Okay. So he had the wherewithal, despite bleeding a lot and being in so much pain, to grab the toes, brought them to the hospital, and had a surgery done, and they put them right back on. So
yeah, and it is crazy. He was saying that he was bleeding so bad, which it is to be expected, and he was, like, smart enough to just put them in a paper towel and wrap them up. So... what happens is, in cases like that, if they believe that the toes are still viable, they will reattach them, and then he'll have to go back in to get another surgery just to make sure that they took. Because a lot of times, if they can't get the blood supply connected, then the tips of the toes will end up dying and they'll have to get amputated again. And I've seen that a lot, where a person gets an amputation and they try to reattach it, but they had a failure of the reattachment. But there's also plenty of cases where it works and it's successful. And not that, like, we get toes in pathology all the time, so plenty of people live without them. You don't need them to live. But you wouldn't believe how crazy it would be walking to lose one of your toes. Just that it really balances you. So he would, I mean, he's still going to have a lot of rehabilitation just because he had this surgery and amputation and everything. But if it sticks, he should be fine. But I guess that's why in the article it says it's crazy that he was on this show that was rather gruesome, and then this actual gruesome thing happened to him in real life.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a lot of examples of that with the stories today. So it's definitely a bizarre turn of events. But let's get into an update we actually have from, I believe it was our second or third news episode. We covered this story of Brandi Mallory, who was on extreme weight loss. She had been found dead in a Chipotle parking lot, only 40 years old, and now the cause of her death has been revealed. So do you want to get into that?
Yeah, so the medical examiner, they did an autopsy on her because naturally if you find a person, especially a younger person that's just dead in their car, even if they had underlying health conditions, you still want to check out and see, like, did somebody try to kill this person? Did she choke on her food, maybe even accidentally died? So they did the autopsy and they said that she died from complications of obesity. And I personally don't accept that as a cause of death, because that's not, like, normally when you fill out a death certificate, especially because they're being used for statistics, you want to put the exact thing that caused the death. And when you have comorbidities associated with obesity, you can have, like, really high blood pressure and hypertensive heart disease. You could have liver disease. You could have all sorts of different pathology going on associated with obesity. So let's say, for example, she had hypertensive heart disease or hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, like just saying her heart was really big. That should be listed as the cause of death. And then secondary to that, it should say due to complications of obesity. Does that make sense that there should be, like, basically the first cause of death should be listed as what I call, like, the smoking gun? Like, what was the thing that caused this person to die? So saying complications of obesity could be a lot of different things, and maybe they're not giving out too many specifics because she's a higher profile person and everything. But I really wanted to revisit this case and talk about the whole thing that made me so angry. I don't know if it was a year or two ago when it was, like, this healthy at any size movement and the Cosmo cover with, like, saying this is healthy with obesity and stuff. And I always am a person that just wants to say that it's not healthy. It's something that is commonly seen in autopsies, is that when, especially when younger people die, they tend to be overweight or obese.
Yeah, and I think there's a big difference in, I think they were portraying it as healthy, and I think they're miswording it in a sense of they meant to be like, it's healthy mentally to be confident in your body and however you want to feel, but not actually healthy. And I don't even know if I'm explaining that right, but I think their overall message was, it's great to be confident no matter what you look like and not care what other people think, but they also shouldn't be giving the incorrect information about what is actually healthy versus not, especially on a fashion publication, which notoriously promotes very unhealthy lifestyles on both ends.
To young women, more importantly. Yes. So I just think that whole, I mean, I feel like that whole thing's going away because like we've moved on to other things to be enraged about, but I just wanted to bring that up. All right, so there are a lot of freak accidents this week. Some of them are outrageous, but this first case I want to get into is, it's actually an older case. It's from April, but it came back up in the news again today. So, Ree, you want to explain a little bit about this case we're talking about?
Yeah, so in April, this couple named Eric Hutchinson and Samantha Miller were married, and as they were leaving the reception, they were on a golf cart when they were struck by a drunk driver. The bride died the night of her wedding. How absolutely horrific. And he sustained broken bones and a brain injury as part of it. So his aunt brought their marriage certificate and had it finalized after the accident happened. And then their wedding was April 28th. And then a couple days later, I believe May 1st, it was acknowledged by the court so that it was a legal marriage and it happened. So with that, he over time since April has assumed his now deceased wife's estate. And now the mother is suing him, saying he does not have a right to her inheritance and trying to get full rights of her daughter's estate back. So I think this is kind of a really complicated situation, and I don't know how you feel about it as a mother, and I'm curious for your take on it.
Well, it actually really struck me because this happened in April, and this was about, like, what, 8 months after you got married, right? So I just was recently, yeah, like a mother of the bride, right? And just hearing about this case and this husband and wife on the back of a golf cart going to, you know, have their honeymoon started and getting struck by and that's like a whole other situation. This 26-year-old girl who has a history of being drunk, driving at bars. There's all these lawsuits now with the bars that served them because there was video footage and everything of this girl being served when she shouldn't have been served. And that's a whole other situation. But she crashes into the golf cart, and this woman who is still in her wedding dress dies at the scene. I mean, think about that. Think about being the parent of this child and being, I'm sure the husband was really out of it and probably got taken right to the hospital, so he might not have visually seen that. But I know at least one of her parents did, and it's just completely awful to even think about. I did hear an interview with her mom, who obviously is completely distraught about it. And when I heard the interview a couple of months ago, she seemed to have had a good relationship with the husband, which I thought was good. I thought that would help with her healing, because at least it's not you going through it alone. You have someone that loved her equally going through it as well. But now I see this story in the news this week, and it's just really upsetting to think that these people lost their loved one in this way, and now they're fighting over money.
Yeah, and it is a really weird thing, because I was thinking that, you know, if, God forbid, I was in this same situation, I don't think you'd, like, completely F over Ricky like that. But it's this weird thing where, like, you shouldn't even be in talks about money, but I don't know what you do without formal paperwork. I'm assuming she didn't have a will, right? I don't right now, so this could be a situation, really. And
I think the thing is that there's obviously going to be, like, wrongful death lawsuits. Actually, there's already been against these bars.
Yeah, the groom is suing the bars for over serving the driver, and they have settled, and he has this is where it's getting all conflicted, though, because they're saying that he has offered half of the funds to the mother, and then she's saying it's a money grab and it's seeming fraudulent. And I'm thinking before the lawsuits. How was him inheriting his wife's estate a fraudulent thing? He didn't kill her himself. So I think this is just all over the place.
Yeah, and if they were married for a year and this happened, like, let's say if they were on vacation, it wouldn't even be a question. I think that the mom is probably just, like, so completely just lost and doesn't want to accept it. I wouldn't want to accept it. You know, it's just the whole thing is, I mean, technically, he probably doesn't owe the mom anything, to be honest.
No, and I believe rightfully he should get the wife's estate, because even if they were only married for 3 hours, how long were they together?
Yeah, I don't know if they owned a house together. I don't know any of that, but
Ricky and I own a home. We have cars. We've built a life together for 5 years before we were married.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, so
it's so upsetting to hear that, you know. Okay. Tell them about the next story. So this is when shit starts getting a little weird around here.
A 21-year-old female in Spain was eating some turkey and she started choking. And then in total panic, she grabbed a toothbrush to try to dislodge the food and stuck it so far down that it ended up sucking in totally and swallowed the toothbrush whole.
Let me cut you off. As a regular person that doesn't know medicine, what do you think about this? Is this probable? Is this something?
I don't think it's probable, especially when I read the toothbrush was 8 inches long.
So what do you think happened?
I can't even fathom. She certainly did not fall.
All right, so
on it, which
is... let me tell you from my experience working in pathology what the first thing I thought was. I have received things in pathology, including a butter knife, which is about the same size as a toothbrush, probably.
But wait, let me sidebar really quick. A butter knife is one smooth stick. Like, it doesn't have something coming off of it still. You know what I mean? Like, that's more plausible to me, a butter knife.
Okay, well, I've gotten a butter knife, pens, pencils. And do you know what cases that I got them on every single time?
Rectal, foreign body.
No. I've gotten them removed from the esophagus because they're from people that have eating disorders and bulimia, and they use it because they've lost their gag reflex, and it's a common foreign body that is found in people that are bulimic that throw up.
Okay, I thought you were going with that maybe she stuck it up the other end and it got stuck, and this was the story she was trying to put out.
No, that's... I know you've never seen the inside of a body like that. I know you've seen the inside of a body, but not anything that I've ever really described to you, but that would be physically impossible. But yeah, it did go down her throat and she did swallow it, but I call bullshit on this story personally because I've seen this so many times of getting these foreign bodies removed. So the same thing happened with her, that they went in, did an endoscopy, and they were able to pull it out and they didn't have to do surgery or anything to remove it. I mean... I guess anything's probable. Maybe this story is real, but like,
So your conclusion is she possibly had an eating disorder,
yes,
and had worn away her gag reflex.
Yes.
And then she was trying to get it out, and therefore it all went down.
If you want to talk about when the most common time that you would see this in a hospital setting where a foreign body had to be removed that was 8 inches long from the esophagus, that would be the situation.
Okay, well, I would have never figured that out on my own. Thank you for clearing it up. And I thought you were going to go on the total opposite and say she stuck it up her butt or something, and then was like, I don't know. But
I've never gotten an actual toothbrush from someone's butt, but I have gotten a travel toothbrush holder.
You know the toothbrushes happen. It has to be one of the more common things.
Yeah, I've never gotten one, just the holder. Before. And there was no toothbrush in the holder.
Well, where did it go?
All right, so speaking of weird foreign bodies.
Okay, in Vietnam.
This is not even one of my
favorite stories this week. No, another non-believable one. A 35-year-old male in Vietnam was having severe headaches for 5 months. So let me put that timeline in perspective for you. In late November, he goes and has a CT scan, and they find a pair of chopsticks in his skull.
They're just like, dude, like, we just did this scan and you have chopsticks in your skull. So how did they get there?
Yeah. And then he's like, I don't he's like, wait, I don't really remember. And then he goes, wait, I did get into a bar fight a couple months ago, but I don't really remember anything.
And I think he said that he was stabbed with, didn't it say that he was like stabbed with an unusual item, but he didn't know what it was or something? Like, oh yeah, there was that time I got in a fight a couple months ago and someone stabbed me in the head, but I don't remember what it was.
So do you want to explain for everybody listening how it, if they can't visualize it, how exactly it got up there?
I have no idea. I don't know. Up his nose, maybe?
It's saying up his nose.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that the fact that he can't remember this can be attributed to the brain trauma that he received from having chopsticks in his skull. I just, because even if someone let's just pretend you're trying to stab someone with chopsticks, right? Like, even if you did it once, they're long, right?
I feel like you'd really have to force it,
and you'd have to sit there with a hammer and hammer them in or something to the point where you wouldn't see them hanging out of your nostril.
Also, you're getting severe migraines for 5 whole months before you get it checked out.
This is the thing with these news stories. I think that, like with the one with the toothbrush and now this one, there's a lot more to the story that they're not talking about, because some of this stuff just doesn't even make any sense for anybody that's ever worked in a hospital.
Well, I was going to ask you that. I meant to ask you this during the Brandy Mallory story as well. Do you think it's an issue with the press not understanding how to read death certificates and false reporting? Or do you think it's a lazy coroner?
No. Well, in these two cases, they're both surgical cases. The toothbrush was an endoscopy, and this one is probably some kind of similar procedure up inside the nose if they were able to remove them that way. So the people didn't die. It's not sloppy coroner. It's just because the people that are writing the stories don't understand how that is just unlikely or not possible. And that's why I love this show and it's so great, because when I read this story about the toothbrush, like I'm like, what the hell? Nobody's calling this shit out. You know, and I'm glad at least I could talk it out with all of you.
Absolutely. So let's get into our last freak accident, which this is another one where you read the headline and you're like, what the heck? So a three-month-old, was killed by a family's pet wolf in Alabama.
Yeah. Like, so apparently Alabama doesn't have rules as far as having exotic pets, but...
Well, let me tell you, so I did a little extra research on this because I was like, something can't be right. This was a pet or a wolf hybrid, so it was part dog and part wolf, which was considered a domestic animal, not an exotic animal, which is why they were legally allowed to own it. And there's apparently various different types of wolf and dog hybrids, but this one is considered domestic. So that's why they were able to have it. But the family was still not following the special rules there were for this exact breed of wolf/dog.
Which is what? I mean, I'm not a dog person, so I don't know what the difference between a regular dog versus a wolf dog.
Well, it was supposed to be held proper, like in a cage or something, you know, like not unsupervised around people.
So what, like,
it's essentially like having a tiger at your house.
So, but then, like, can I ask the question, what the fuck is the point of having this animal live in your house when you have a baby if it's supposed to not be around? Like, I understand why people want to have dogs. They want a pet. They want a companion. Like, it's part of the family. What about the wolf? Like, what is it about this that is attractive to people?
They were saying they had other children present as well. So maybe in their weird minds, they were like, well, we never had a problem with any of the other kids, so maybe we won't have a problem with the baby. And now a child's life has ended because some people just have to have weird pets. It just doesn't even make sense.
Another thing is that I read from some like wolf association that typically like people commonly get, when they get these types of pets, they don't do what they're supposed to do with them. And they often like abandon them or bring them to shelters because they're like kind of surprised by their aggressive nature and they don't want them in their house.
It's ridiculous.